And good evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight we have Sherry Dillard, who is the author of, well, I thought it would be a great interview right before Valentine's Day, because she is the author of Love and Intuition, A Psychic's Guide to Creating Lasting Love. So welcome, Sherry.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So we're just going to like whip into it, but maybe before we do, what was your own personal journey? What sort of brought you into this, to the place that you're at? You wrote this book. You've also written another book on intuition as well. But, you know, what sort of got you here? What was your connection?
Okay. Well, I have been a professional psychic medium for a number of years, close to 20 now. And as anyone who's in this work knows, and I'm sure you know, that relationships and love tend to be pretty much for everybody a major concern in their life. And I know for myself, I was very psychic with other people, very good. But when it came to my own connections with others, my intuitive ability was honestly not very good. And I really couldn't understand why that was. If I could be so accurate and good with other people, then why was I so lousy, basically, in my own love life? And so that kind of set me on the journey of really trying to discover and to help others to discover ways to use their intuition, specifically in this area. Because using your intuition in your own relationship energy tends to actually be kind of different from using it in other areas of your life, because when it comes to emotional energy, which is an incredibly high, strong, intense energy, you know, it can either cause a little bit of static and confusion and get us kind of off track in terms of, you know, just kind of clear accuracy. But what I discovered along the way was that harnessing that energy and actually learning how to work with emotional energy can actually fuel intuition and increase its accuracy. So I kind of really spent a lot of years with myself and then teaching clients how to accurately and specifically tune in to, you know, whatever it is within their own life that would enhance their relationships and their sense of love.
That's really interesting, because I do find that, you know, as soon as we have an emotional agenda, it is much more difficult to...
It really is,
Because, you know, we have our hopes and our fears.
Oh, gosh, and we really, really don't want to be hurt, and we want what we want, and, yeah, we're very, you know, powerful when it comes to those emotional desires.
Yeah. And it, yeah, I mean, it's a real challenge, I believe, to be able to get to that place where you know, you don't have the attachment to the outcome. You can read it the way you would read somebody else, which, like you said, is much easier because we don't have an attachment to it.
Yeah, and we, you know, and emotional energy, like I said, is in and of itself quite a powerful way to, you know, either causes confusion or really harness it. And with, you know, harnessed with, empowered with emotional energy, so much as possible, too. You know, and that's the thing about intuition, you know, is that, like you said, when you're not attached, when there's not that emotional desire there, it's actually a lot easier to tune in and to be accurate. At the same time, though, you know, most of us want to use our intuition in those areas that we are the most attached to. You know, it's kind of a paradox, but those are the areas where we tend to struggle the most, and we build up energy, you know, frustration or desire or intensity. So, you know, a lot of techniques for developing intuition kind of, you know, don't deal with emotional energy. And that was kind of what I was bumping into with a lot of clients, too, is that, you know, they felt very, very much not intuitive or psychic, for the simple reason of that, that they were, you know, tuning into their own issues, it is much harder than tuning into someone else.
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought it was really interesting because what you've done, which is slightly different from a lot of intuitives out there. I mean, you've basically taken clairsentience, which is the ability to feel, and that can include emotions, and it can include a lot of different ways of intuiting information. But you've kind of taken that one area and developed it, where most people, you know, when they talk about intuition, they're bringing in the other clairs that we mostly know about, which is the clairvoyant and the clairaudient, and you've kind of taken one and really developed it.
Yeah, but you know, I'm glad you brought that up because you know it's interesting how you know the science and the understanding and study of intuition. You know, we don't have a real it's a lot of it is subjective, and we have different names for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it can be confusing when, you know, when you read different books or you talk to different people. A lot of the intuitive information is the same. It's just worded and given different names. But like you said, the clairvoyance and clairaudience, clairsentience, all of the clairs where our modalities and ways to tune in actually can be used with emotional intuition, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that I guess that's probably maybe stage two of it, is how to transfer and transform emotional energy into more finely tuned intuitive awareness.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, you know, as you develop one, usually the rest of them also start to develop.
Well, that's really true. You're right. Yeah.
But I do like, I mean, because mostly, I mean, a lot of the information prior to, I don't know, maybe the late 80s, maybe around like the harmonic convergence, but most of the information I couldn't relate to because it was, you know, very visual or very audio, and
those
weren't my primary ways of learning or my primary ways of intuiting. And I do believe that most of the kids that are coming in now are clairsentient. You know, they're either clairsentient or claircognizant, which you kind of do talk about. I can't wait to get into that because I find that it's all quite fascinating just because it's a different way of looking at it, even though it can incorporate all of the different ways of intuiting. It's different. So I really enjoyed.
Well, you know, I think that with 2012 coming too, with, you know, kind of the whole movement of energy going into core center of emotional energy, like you said, I think we're going to see more and more. I think it's interesting what you were just saying, because with the times and with the different astrological, you know, the movements that have been happening, I think we were definitely more kind of detached from our intuition, if that's possible, in terms of it being more kind of outside ourselves in clairvoyance or clairaudience of hearing and feeling an external connection, looking outside. I think now, you know, part of the whole transformation that we're making is moving intuition more into that center, into the heart, you know, into emotional energy. And I've seen a lot more in the past, just in the past year even, I think there's been a lot more written and a lot more communication, even among, you know, some of my clients and the people that contact me from reading the books, about really coming into more of an awakening into their own intuitive heart center.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem so far away anymore, you know? It doesn't seem like it's outside of us and we're trying to connect with something. You know what I mean? It's
absolutely.
Like that core self is coming. It's starting to blossom and open within us. I think that the, you know, the microcosm of that macrocosm of the change that's happening astrologically is that we're coming into our core center also.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to deal, what I'm saying, with our emotional energy more.
And
you know, because when we go into center, that's where the universe is going, is into the heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to open that up more and more. And for those people who are already sensitized and intuitively aware, it's going to be real important to, you know, to really intertwine and integrate the two.
It's so core. I think it's amazing because it's true, but there are so many teachers out there that are still on the old, you know, and I think that it's been widely misinterpreted and misunderstood, but, you know, this whole detachment and, you know, not focusing on our emotions, not being authentic,
right.
You know, trying to, you know, to pretend they're not real or, mm-hmm. you know, to deny all of our emotions. And the more we keep doing that, the bigger they're getting. Like, it's,
well,
you know.
Isn't that the truth? Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like we have to start dealing with this if we're ever going to get anywhere.
Yeah. Well, you know what's interesting is I think what in part brought that in was some of the success and some of the understanding through books like Secret. And, you know, we've been through a long stretch of time of learning about manifestation and learning how to visualize and how to bring into our lives what we want. And I think, you know, what was part of what we've been learning in that, although I don't think it's been real prominent, has been that without emotional energy, you know, and when I say emotional energy, I'm talking about pure life force love, too, mm-hmm. absolute love. Without that, what we desire, those manifestations, actually really don't, they really don't have energy, you know, I mean, when we truly can harness something through anyone who loves, anyone who truly loves another, loves anything, you know the power behind that, and you know how strong that is, you know?
Yeah.
And without emotional energy attached to those other, like you said, you know, we were going from that detachment, and then we moved into kind of more of the mind, of using the mind to create.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, this next phase now is, like I said, going within, going into the core self, and really working with the higher energy within oneself of love and transformation. And that's where so much healing comes in, too.
Yeah. And that's where we need to heal the most. Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it's fascinating. And I think, you know, people like you, authors like you, where you're bringing out some of this really important work. I mean, it's, you know, this is where we have to start. And clearly it is happening, but there's still a huge percentage of the population that are just not quite there yet. But
no, that's really true, isn't it? But that where they are, and you know this as a professional yourself, is... you know, really wanting a better life day to day, really wanting to be happier and wanting to deal with, you know, whatever confronts us in our day to day, whether it be, you know, creating, you know, more money, better health, you know, satisfying relationships. So, you know, and the book, Love and Intuition, you know, part of it, you know, it's almost like that's the hook, you know, to get people into understanding all of this more, is that, you know, life just gives us a menu every day where we kind of have to pay attention or we're pretty miserable.
Yeah.
You know, we have, things just happen, and we have to find ways of bettering ourselves and increasing our own happiness. I mean, that's kind of such a biological drive that whether or not people are on board with all of the metaphysics and intuition and love and all of that, you know, everybody's on board with more happiness, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's certainly the, you know, the one thing that in our lives that is so conditional, in that we've made it so conditional because that's how we've sort of been brought up. And that's really... you know, the one area that we all can sort of relate to in a way that we have to learn to change, heal.
You know, because like I said, with my own life, you know, I learned the most not through intuitively, really not through what I was the best at intuitively, but really what I was the worst in, you know. That's the place where I had to really learn more and focus was in my own life. It was easier to work with others, and it still is, And, you know, my motivation was really just to be happier, right. You know, to have better relationships.
Right.
And that's true, I think, for everybody.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about how love strengthens our intuition. And I know you've already sort of mentioned a few things, but let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, that's a question that it's probably the most common question, and it's very understandable. I, you know, just given what we were talking about, that, you know, we've learned attachment and learned as energy outside of ourselves. So, well, in my world, love and intuition spring from the same source. They both are connected to our soul and our spirit. And when we are able to, you know, simultaneously, let's say, intuit or pick up, receive information just on a day-to-day basis when we're not even thinking about it, things just come to us. You know, the question comes up, well, how did I know that? Where did that come from? And how can I better tune into that, or how can I keep that going? Because when I listen to that, things tend to work out a lot better for me. And for anybody who develops their intuition or wants to go beyond it, just kind of the random occurrence of it happening, you know, sooner or later, even if when we just learn techniques of, like you said, clairaudience or clairvoyance, and use kind of, even when we just work with energy, what invariably happens, though, is that it seems to kind of open up a part of us that we weren't aware of. That part of us that we're not aware of on a conscious day-to-day basis is our spirit. And it's the same with love. You know, love and intuition are both very powerful unseen energies that tend to have a life of their own. You know, we can't control either one, basically. We can work with them, we can align ourselves with them, but they come from a place that's bigger than us. They kind of take us out of ourselves. For anybody who loves, and we all do, we know that one of the, you know, the most exciting things about love is seeing yourself, feeling yourself, experiencing yourself in a different way than you do on a just an average, normal day-to-day basis. It kind of opens you up, and you feel things, and you become bigger, and you hopefully grow and evolve through an energy that's so intangible, and yet it really feeds you in a way that we can't even describe. And intuition, if you really work with your intuition, you will have a similar kind of experience where I don't know a lot of people who work with their intuition who do not feel the immensity of this incredibly wise and wonderful, unseen, knowing universe. It just takes you into a broader understanding of what we're all connected to, and that's, again, it kind of brings into consciousness a part of ourselves that normally is kind of dormant. You know, it's a wonderful, magical doorway to love, and it's also a wonderful, magical doorway to intuit. And when you combine the two, and the way you combine the two is simply, it's very, very easy, actually. It's almost, you know, natural. But that is to allow a higher love, allow a love to flow through you that's not attached to a person. It's not, you know, well, I love this person, and that's where the love comes from, or I love my dog and that's where my love comes from. It's within my dog, or it's within that person, or it's within an activity. Well, we can experience it in those things, but when we really use our intuition and allow love to flow through us, it really kind of quickly we understand that love isn't really attached to anybody. It's not really in that, it is in that person, but that's not really the love that is really nurturing us on a deeper level. Certainly when we love another, we can, that it kind of opens us to more of that. But opening yourself and just feeling and allowing and asking, almost, you know, just kind of provoking that deeper love, which, again, this, you know, these things are hard to put into words. That's why a lot of the book is actually more of a workbook through meditations and exercises, visualizations, because it's not this. What we're talking about is really non-logical. It's hard to contain in words, but it is that experience of flowing with a greater force. And so you can kind of see, I hope, how they are intertwined. They mm-hmm. they almost can't be separate. I mean, they can be separated, but if you really, like I said, just take a moment and open that your heart, and, you know, intuition is just that deeper knowing. It's the experience of a greater sense of self and the unseen energy. Of course, you're going to bump into love, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's
I don't
great.
Know how you could not, you know?
Yeah, I mean, even if we're still externalizing it and, you know, just looking outside, it still has it. I mean, it is the predominant force of energy. It's just we sort of layer.
It really is, you know. and yeah, I guess it's, you know, I guess we can just play with ourselves and we can compartmentalize ourselves in such ways that, of course, we can detach from that. But, you know, even if you logically look at love, you realize that, well, it's not a thing. I can't put it in anything. I can't contain it. I can't, you know, say, well, it's there, but it's not there. You know, yeah. Love is an energy that's just in all. It's just present, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, let's talk about the different types of intuition as you have defined them, because I mean, I was quite surprised, mostly because it's so different from what I was expecting, but also going through your test, because you do have a test in the book, and I hear that there's another one in your other book.
Right.
But, you know, to help you sort of discover which one you are, and although I wasn't, you know, too incredibly surprised, I was a little bit, but why don't you talk about the four?
All right, and then you'll have to tell me what type you are.
I will.
All right. Well, the first book, Discover Your Psychic Type, was primarily focused on tuning into the natural way your intuition flows through you. And my understanding being, and the understanding that I kind of present through the books, is that our intuition is just an innate part of us. And just as we have, like, strengths and weaknesses and learning modalities, some of us learn more visually, some more auditory, we actually have strengths and weaknesses in the way that we naturally flow with intuitive energy or intuit. So, you know, most people are a combination of the four basic types that I give, which is emotional, mental, physical, and spiritual. And there's also degrees in each one. So I'm going to simplify all this just for time right now, and talk primarily about love and intuition and the basic types, the four basic ones. So emotional intuitives are people who intuit primarily through their emotions. They tend to be empaths, easily soak in the feelings of others, can feel what a loved one feels miles and miles away, can absorb the energy, the emotional energy of an environment. And in love, in relationships, emotional intuitives are very attuned to the heart. They're also, emotional intuitives are very giving, loving people, and they're here to, most emotional intuitives are of service in some kind. They long to heal. They long to give. In relationships, they will also not only give, care for another deeply, they love love. You know, emotional intuitives just, you know, they're just so attuned to love and thrive on love that they, you know, they tend to be maybe more romantic. They tend to need to talk about emotions more. And a lot of times an emotional intuitive will be attracted to a mental intuitive who is someone who is intuiting more through thought vibration. And it's the classic kind of combination of, you know, the emotional, like I have a client who is an emotional intuitive. She's married to a mental intuitive, and he is a fantastic husband. And yet her biggest complaint that I hear all the time from her is that he doesn't say I love you enough. He doesn't talk about his feelings for her enough. Emotional intuitives, they need that. They need that emotional energy. They're going to pick up on it anyway, you know. They already absorb it. But if you really love an emotional intuitive, I always tell people, then just tell them, because that to them is going to be, you know, the greatest gift of all. Mental intuitives, like I was saying, are people who absorb mostly through thoughts, through consciousness, higher states of awareness. They tend to be telepathic. They tend to be people who see the big picture. A lot of mental intuitives are people who you'll find in kind of science. They can be inventors. They like to write. A lot of books are written by mental intuitives. They like to put things together. And, you know, their thought processes are, a lot of times they're the ones who already know what you're thinking, you know. You can't finish the sentence because, oh, I'm, you know, they're way ahead of you. In relationships, mental intuitives can sometimes have a harder time because their love is expressed not through so much through emotional energy of in terms of I love you and I'm sharing with you my feelings. A lot of mental intuitives will want, they'll understand their partner and they'll want to help them through giving them advice or helping solve their problems in some way, you know, kind of piecing things together for them. And part of the reason I wrote the book is because if you are connected to a mental intuitive, partnered with them, it's important to understand that they're not withholding so much when they don't express emotions as much as their natural way of expressing love is going to be more through mental energy and intuiting your thoughts or where you are in trying to give you in return kind of a cohesive understanding and whole of what's going on, you know? Okay, a physical intuitive is someone who's intuiting through the physical body. There's somebody who will feel the aches and pains of another. You know, one example I give in one of my books is there'll be the one in the office who's sitting next to someone who's having a hard time in their marriage or life or something, and so the physical intuitive will go home with a headache or they'll feel stress in their body, and it's because they've been sitting next to somebody and kind of absorbing, intuitively absorbing their energy. Physical intuitives also have more of a gut feeling in their body. You know, they're the kind of solar plexus, gut intuition kind of people. And a lot of physical intuitives will actually, especially women, will gain weight. In part because of the energy they're intuiting. If they're not aware that they're physical intuitives, they'll absorb energy in the environment and unconsciously create and feel that as heaviness, weight. So it's important to know what type you are in a lot of ways for your health, especially if you're in physical intuitive. You know, they can really take on a lot and their body just kind of gets the bigger hit on it. But in relationships, physical intuitives will, they tend to intuit and perform best through action, doing things. They also really like physical connections. A lot of physical intuitives will actually only feel really connected and they'll be expressing love through sensuality, sexuality, holding hands, hugging. They might not be able to put it in words how they're feeling, like a mental intuitive. Mental intuitives, one of their strengths is they can put so much into words and communicate. They might not, like the emotional intuitive, be able to express feelings, but it's through their physical touch. And a lot of physical intuitives actually have a gift of healing through their hands. Or, you know, you'll find a lot of physical intuitives are massage therapists, chiropractors, you know, Reiki people who really work with the physical vibration. And like I said, in relationships, they like to help also physically, you know. They'll do tasks of the grocery store or take care of things. Now, in plain old psychic world, they tend to be very good at psychometry, which is the ability to, like, hold an object of another and intuit and read information from it. A lot of psychics will need pictures for that reason, because they can look at the picture, and the picture, the physical object, holds the vibration, so they gain information through the object. Most likely a physical intuitive, if you work like that. I myself, it's funny, people give me pictures or try to, and I say, please don't, because it confuses me. It really does. I just look at the picture, and I think, oh, I like your hair or something, and it's, you know, there's no psychic information coming to me. That's because I'm primarily a spiritual intuitive, and spiritual intuitives are the ones that we kind of think of as intuitive and psychic, and that's because they tend to be able to see color, see, you know, like aura color. They might see angels or sense their presence, loved ones. A lot of mediums are spiritual intuitives. They can sense loved ones who have passed over. They're working from the energy field. They're intuiting information through, really just through the energy body. And in a relationship in love, spiritual intuitives, they're a little harder to understand. They tend to be very, very sensitive. They can be sensitive to, like electronic things, noise, food, things like that, because there's so much more in the spiritual body. They tend to be unpredictable as partners at times, too. One of the most important things for a spiritual intuitive in a relationship is meaning and purpose, is they have to have a purpose for being in it. Some spiritual intuitives will stay in a relationship that's really not good. You know, it's not really what we would think of as a healthy, good relationship, but they'll stay in it because they feel there's a purpose for it. Like, I'm learning, I've had people tell me this, well, I, you know, this relationship, I'm learning patience, or I'm learning, you know, how to, there's a karmic connection I have, and I just have to be in it to, for my spiritual self, to kind of resolve my karma here. I have something I need to give. And so, a spiritual intuitive, interestingly enough, if the relationship is good, but they feel their purpose is over in it, they might move out of the relationship and move on to their next kind of purpose, you know? I'm here to learn. I'm the soul that needs to experience different things. And so you kind of never know with the spiritual intuitive. They're, like I said, the more unpredictable of types. But at the same time, very exciting at times to be with, because they can increase the energy tremendously. And a lot of spiritual intuitives bring that into a relationship. It's kind of more vibrancy, more energy, more purpose. You'll learn a lot. That's for certain. If you're with a spiritual intuitive, expect to grow, expect to change and evolve. They couldn't be in a relationship if they're not doing that. And they intuit, like I said, through the energy body. But, they, you know, a lot of spiritual intuitives will dream about their partner or family members. A lot of times in relationships, like I said, their drive is to grow and change. So they're going to primarily access information intuitively that's going to, at times, challenge a partner, you know. Why are you doing this? You know, this isn't good for you. And they need to be understood in that way. But like I said, you know, most people are a combination of the different types. And, you know, and that's one of the things I talk about in the books is evolving those types, getting into the highest state possible with each type, and then balancing them. Because that's the, what we kind of want is to be able to be balanced in the four. All right. So with that said, my dear, what type are you?
Well, you know, it's so funny, because while you were talking about the emotional intuitive, I would say, you know, everything you said is me, but it's only how I relate to others. Uh-huh. While doing the tests, I am completely a mental and a spiritual.
Oh, really?
And yet, the emotional, like, I always connect in with people's emotions. I always have that.
Right.
That's always how I, it sort of feeds me. But what my surprise was how mental, like, I'm such the analyst. Like, I'm so much always thinking, and I do it mentally as well as spiritually. And while you were talking at the end about the spiritual, how that sort of develops, it probably moves much more towards the spiritual in the end, because it's all about growth, and that's
right.
Everything that I do is all about growth.
Right.
And that challenges relationships, because not everybody wants to grow.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree. Not everybody wants to grow. Some people want to sit on the couch and watch a good show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had that issue.
Or they don't want their buttons pushed. Like, they
exactly.
don't want to be.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, spiritual intuitives, I mean, we can all, every type can have their challenges, but the motivation for a spiritual intuitive is really different than the other types, because for a spiritual intuitive, it's not just about how well are we getting along. Let's make everything comfortable,
yeah.
You know? Like, a physical intuitive will want physical comfort. They'll just want to feel close. The emotional intuitive wants harmony, you know? They just want to, and a lot of emotional intuitives are prone to codependency for that reason, because they kind of want that even tone. You know, difficult emotions are harder for them. And the mental intuitive, you know, they're just going to try to discuss and kind of get to the bottom of things to find that mid-ground. Again, before a spiritual intuitive, you can see the challenge is that, things are going good here. Huh, little bored, you know?
How can we shake things up a bit?
It does grow. Present a bit, but it doesn't surprise me that you're a mental intuitive, though,
no.
At all. You know, and don't look at that as just kind of like, you know, thought-oriented. I mean, it is thought-oriented, but keep in mind it's also about higher consciousness,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
You know, it's about accessing higher states of understanding and knowing, and most teachers like yourself are mental intuitive.
Yeah.
You know, because you can communicate so well. That's one reason I'd say, yeah, you're probably highly mental is because you have a radio program. You know, and you want to teach. You can put things into words.
Yeah.
You can put higher concepts into words. That's the strength of a mental intuitive.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was so clear while doing everything. It was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And but when I would think about it, like if I were to, you were just to ask me, you know, if you were to give me those four, I would probably say emotional, spiritual.
Yeah.
And it was a surprise to me, although nothing about, you know, listening to it or reading about it surprised me.
Yeah. No, I get it. It is, you know, what the funny thing is that it actually surprised me too. And I wrote it. I'm not kidding. I wrote the test in it. I wrote the types and I did it. You know, by a combination of experience with people, but I also, you know, worked with my guides, and a lot of this came from a higher awareness. And I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to take the quiz myself. And I took it, and I was and what was interesting was I was primarily spiritual in my relationships, but when it comes to my everyday life, and that's Discover Your Psychic Type, the first book, is more just about how are we intuiting on a basic level, I was more emotional in that one. And I would have put money on it that in relationships I was also emotional.
Right.
But the funny thing was I came out highly spiritual, and then when I read my own description, I thought, you know what, you're right, I am more spiritual, which, like I said, was kind of funny because, you know,
yeah.
When I was writing it, I didn't really write it from this is how I am. It was more, you know, like I said, it was kind of... you know, just using the psychic channels and intuiting a lot of this higher information.
Mm-hmm.
But it helped me. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's great. By looking at time here, I'm thinking, let's go to, you know, how do we let go and increase our intuitive receptivity? How do we do that open heart and letting go? I mean, I know my part, but from your perspective.
Letting go of another relationship?
Well, just opening up and letting go. I think it's more that surrendering thing. It's more, you know, stop trying to control our everything that we do and just...
Oh, I see, in that bigger way,
yes.
Right. Well, that's a good question. You know, I think a lot of times we don't let go. We have more of a sense of control, whether it's something outside of ourselves or our own behavior or something, you know, qualities that we have, in part because we don't, believe it or not, know what else there is, you know? I mean, I've surprised myself with realizing that I've had a hard time letting go of painful things because I've had a kind of an aha awareness that letting go of even something that's painful, that's all I thought I had, you know? There was nothing else there. I didn't have a strong sense that something positive would replace it or there was something else. It was just, well, this is something anyway. It's not, you know, completely empty. And the point being here is that I talk a lot in the book about absolute love. And like, in fact, I wanted to write the book about absolute love, but it kind of, you know,
wrote itself, yes.
Yeah, as things go.
The next book.
That's not what it turned out to be. But one of the reasons that I was so adamant about writing about absolute love is because love that flows from within is always there, and that empowers us to let go. When we have not just a conscious, you know, kind of logical understanding of love, but when we have that, inner, vibrant connection, assurance that there is not just only love there, but there is a love that is going to move us forward, it's going to heal us, it's going to take us beyond what we're holding on to, that letting go of something lets in something else that's so much better than what we're letting go of. And when we really know that, letting go becomes a lot easier. I mean, we still have to practice it, and we still have to remind ourselves, you know, because not letting go is just based on fear. You know, it's just a fear that there is nothing else, or a fear that things are going to kind of fall apart, or we're going to be alone, or it's just that deep sense of loss in a way. But when we can, and that's why using your intuition and opening to love is so powerful, because once we do that, and that's why it's so healing, once we allow that love in, we know we're never alone. We know we're going to be okay. We have a sense that, there's something else right on the horizon, which when we know that, when we have that, it becomes easy, you know?
Yeah.
It's not hard anymore because, you know, for anybody who's been loved in that way or feels love, we know it, you know?
Yeah.
It has an intelligence. It has a path for us. I had a client write and tell me that I wrote an article about angels and guides and different things, and she wrote a story about how, in just the real depths of despair after her husband left her and completely feeling alone and lost, she just had that sense of love flowing through her out of nowhere, just moving through her. And for the first time in a very, very long time, she said she just really knew everything was going to be all right, and that she could go on and things were going to be better than they had been. But it wasn't a logical experience. It was that experience of opening to that love.
Yeah, I mean, I think we almost have this aversion to the wording of, you know, opening up, because that means, you know, a vulnerability.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Letting go means this, you know, we have to let go of something. It's like we hold on so tightly because mm-hmm. we're in such a state of fear that, you know, letting go, as you said, I mean, it brings up all of our fears.
It really does, yeah. Yeah.
It's like we have to find a new way of saying it. Sometimes I say we don't, you know, it's like diving into the heart.
Well, you know what? That's probably a much better way to say it, you know that? Because you're right. Opening up does feel, you know, we have no assurance. It's just like a balloon going up into the sky, you know?
Mm.
We let go and we don't have anything anymore. Where the diving in is definitely a sense of immersion, going
yeah.
into something.
Yeah. And filling ourselves instead of making ourselves empty.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah. Okay, since we are doing a Valentine's Day show, let's talk about becoming a soulmate magnet.
Okay. All righty. That's always a popular topic.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure is. Well, as you probably, I'm sure you know, I mean, we all have experienced this as women in this field, that that's what we want. You know, we want that kind of deep, heartfelt, soulful connection, even when we can't even really pinpoint or describe what that is. Yeah. What we tend to do is we tend to attract people based on our more small self, superficial aspects of, you know, what we've been through, commonalities, our pain. You know, we're always magnetizing people to us, even when we're completely not aware that we're doing it. It's just something that happens to every person walking the earth. Is we're all magnets. We're already drawing to us people. Likes, you know, attract likes. When we're unconscious, what we tend to do, like I said, is we attract, our likes attract likes through our more superficial qualities or parts of us that aren't going to really give us that soul that we're looking for. You know, you can go out to dinner with somebody or have a date with someone who looks wonderful, just like you want them to look. They have the right job. They're, you know, I have clients write lists. You know, they dance. They have brown hair. They're 6 feet tall. They're everything that on the list. And yet, as hard as they try, they're just not really feeling a connection with them. Mm-hmm. Being a soulmate magnet is about attracting people consciously through the energy of your soul, through that love that we're talking about. And one of the things I talk about in the book is about, you know, in order to attract a soulmate, what we have to do is live in our soul. We have to, if we're going to, you know, if we all know this, even in a very scientific way, that likes attract likes, then the more energy and the more conscious awareness we have of our own soul and spirit, that's what we're going to be attracting. That's going to be the stronger, bigger part of us. So I give exercises and ways to be more in your soul and spirit. And one of the things one of the exercises is about things that we can do on a daily basis that are soulfully kind of expanding. Simple things. Like one of the things I say is just loving something, loving anything. Every day, just love something, you know. Love your dog, love the trees, love a television program if that's what you love. Just love something. Just open your heart and love. Feel it. Don't wait to feel love when it comes to you from the right person. Just start loving. Notice beauty. You know, beauty is an aspect of the soul that we don't really give that much energy to. Natural beauty, beauty in your environment, noticing the small things, just a bird in the window or a beautiful sunrise or sunset, another aspect of the soul. Another aspect of the soul's gratitude is just being thankful for whatever is in your life on a daily basis, even if it's just, I woke up this morning and there wasn't a lot of traffic. Whatever it might be, just having some gratitude towards the day. And forgiveness, of course, is another one, and that is, you know, trying to quickly and easily forgive others. And again, you know, I think part of this work is just doing it all the time. It's, you know, forgiving the long line that you're having to stand in the grocery store, or forgiving the person that cuts you off, forgiving someone when they're late, is just kind of really drawing from the soul, drawing from the spiritual energy. The more we do that, and I give other ways to do it, but the more we do that on a daily basis, the stronger our soul gets. And then one of the exercises I give after doing that is to really just kind of go into a quiet place, close your eyes, meditate, and I'm going to use your words right now. Instead of, I'm not going to say opening, I'm going to say dive into your soul, dive into your heart, feel your heart, feel your love, and invite your soulmate in. Ask him to come in. Ask him to be close. Tell your soulmate you'd like to be with him in the physical or her in the physical. And You know, the funny thing is I'm going to use your word again because I like it. When you dive in, when you really feel the energy of the heart, you know if you're really ready and open and willing to allow someone else in your life. And if you're not, if your heart is closed because of old pain or fear or I don't think this is going to work for me, just be honest about it, and that's okay. You know, it's okay if you're not. It's nothing to be ashamed of or to recoil from. It's just be honest about where you are and love yourself. You know, that just means I need to practice love more. I need to allow more love through things that aren't threatening or vulnerable or scary. You know, there's volunteer things we can do where we can actually receive a lot of love, you know, care for animals or hold babies or whatever it is that, you know, just find a safe way to bring love into your life if your heart really isn't ready yet. And, but if you are ready, if you are feeling your heart willing and ready, keep inviting, keep inviting, keep inviting your soulmate to show up in the physical. And I would say I pretty much guarantee it will happen.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, energy, love energy, like we all know, it's incredibly strong. It's, you know, instead of going out in the world and trying to find, just know, just invite. Now, the other thing I should say, too, along with this, is I also say listen to your intuition and pay attention to synchronicities. You know, if you wake up one morning and you have had a dream or an idea that, oh, I need to go to this restaurant or I need to talk to this friend or follow up with this person, listen to those intuitions and follow through, because, you know, a lot of times that's what's happening is you're being directed to being at the right place at the right time for it to happen.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned in the book to be the fool. Talk about that.
Oh, that's true. I did say that, didn't I? I'm glad you brought that up, actually. Oh, gosh. Yeah, you know, we're so afraid of being foolish, you know? We're so afraid of loving and it not working out and being embarrassed. And, you know, the only way to love is really to love, and you are going to kind of be a fool. You know, I mean, I've certainly have been many a time. And when I look back and I think, well, I had the option to not give, to not be available, to not love, and given my option of not loving or loving, I think even when we're let down, loving is kind of the way to go. And, you know, and when I say a fool, I kind of draw from the tarot deck, mm-hmm. of the fool being vulnerable, at the same time wise and childlike, and can kind of just dust yourself off and keep going, you know? It's just a way of being where you don't have to worry about controlling that. It's okay when things don't work out, you know? I mean, it doesn't feel good, certainly, and it can cause us pain, but again, given the options of moving forward and loving and learning, and that's why that we talked earlier about, you know, really allowing absolute love to flow through you. Because when you do that, it's okay to be the fool, you know? It's okay because, oh, there's still love there, and it's still moving me forward, and it's still vibrant, and I can heal. I can keep going.
Well, I mean, I've often seen it when, you know, somebody will call or I'll connect with somebody and they'll talk about, you know, this relationship that you're listening to them and you're going, oh my God, it's so not the right relationship for you. But mm-hmm. at the same time, the reason it came was so that they could dream again. Like, it's like,
you know,
we sort of get stuck in this rut and this pattern mm-hmm. and we forget about possibilities. And the thing that I think about with the fool is just that 100% faith that the fool has that the fool will be taken care of.
Absolutely, right. And you are for that reason, too.
Yeah.
If you believe it and you know it, then you definitely will be taken care of. Yeah, but you bring up an interesting point. You know, that's the thing about relationships is that, you know, I think if we're really honest, we really know that, you know, sometimes the most difficult ones and the ones that even when we're in them, we're thinking, what am I doing again, are the ones where we really do have that opportunity to heal and to grow and to see beyond our limitations, even when they don't work out, which is okay. You know, I mean, again, it's, you know, I think that we have this idea that, you know, success means longevity and not success means non-longevity, that it didn't work out in right. a certain way. But certainly, you know, an advanced soul, an older soul, is not coming here for longevity. We're coming to learn, evolve. Of course, that makes me a spiritual intuitive.
Absolutely. Do you believe that there is only one soulmate?
Well, I do and I don't. I believe that I believe that the divine is all of our soulmate in its many, many expressed forms. I believe that within everybody, what we're really loving is we're loving divine, we're loving energy, we're loving something beyond even that person. They're a doorway to that. At the same time, I believe that, you know, at any time in our life, there is a perfect soulmate for us. Now, that soulmate may change, though. I don't think we have just one in a lifetime or just one in eternity. You know, I feel like, you know, we're all one. You know, we're all the same person. We're all different created aspects of the greater whole. And so, of course, at certain times in our development, our soulmate is going to be expressed in a different way. So that's like an answer and a non-answer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Sherry, this has been a delight. Tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I've had a great time. Appreciate your allowing me to talk with you today, especially right before Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
I have a website, which is www.sherrydillard.com, which is SHERRIEDILLARD.com. And I'm on Facebook, and I'd love to hear from anybody.
Mm-hmm. And they can get your book anywhere?
Should be able to. It's in bookstores. It's Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and Llewellyn is the publisher, so of course through Llewellyn they're also available.
Right. And do you have any workshops or anything coming up?
Well, I just had a class last weekend, and what I am starting to do is actually what I'm doing now is I have the books out, and I just did one this morning, as I'm posting classes and meditations on audio, downloadable on my website.
Nice.
The meditations go along with some of the exercises in the books.
Nice.
Just because sometimes it's a lot easier just to hear somebody speak it and to follow along than to read it and follow. So right now my focus is probably more on online classes.
Nice.
Which are on my website.
Great. All right. Well, I highly recommend this book. I think it gives you a different perspective. It certainly helps you to be able to look at love and intuition and strengthen your own sacred connection within yourself, as well as to allow it to attract another that will be of equal value. And, you know, just because it's Valentine's Day, I mean, it's a great time to start, but love is a constant in our life and we're always looking for it. So I definitely recommend Love and Intuition by Sherry Dillard. So,
well, thank you, Laurie. That's sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you. I've enjoyed this very much.
I have too.
We should maybe have you come back and delve into the intuitive love types or the intuitive types, because I think that it's really fascinating what you've done.
Great. I'd love to do it.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.